The gospel lesson for the second Sunday in Easter comes to us from John chapter 20, reading verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thomas, one of the first 12 disciples, had a nickname. It was Twin. In Greek, it sounded like this, Didymus, which is where we get our word ditto, meaning the same. But we have changed Thomas's name, and we act as if his first name was Doubting. We always call him Doubting Thomas. Now, history in general, and Christians in particular, forget that Thomas was a courageous pessimist. When Jesus said he wanted to go to Bethany, and it was a dangerous place for him to be at that particular time in his ministry, and yet he wanted to go, it was Thomas who said, "Well, let's go with him and die." And we forget that Thomas was an honest skeptic. When Jesus said, "You know where I'm going," Thomas said, "No, we don't. Where are we going? How do we know?" And that's when Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Now, Thomas, by tradition's account, went off to India and started a church in Madras that predates most of our Christian history and background, and that church is still there today. It was just featured in National Geographic. And if you want to know about it personally, talk to Dr. Varkey Abraham. He's from that church. However, history just remembers the way it wants to. General McAuliffe was a fine military leader during World War II. You might not remember his name. What he's famous for is for what he said to the Nazi surrender demand when he was in charge at Bastogne. He had a one-word answer: nuts. Well, it confused the enemy translators and the commanders, and it bought some extra time enough for relief to arrive. But that's not why we remember it. We like that macho, in-your-face image of the general saying nuts. Later on, when they interviewed him about that, many years later, he said he wished he had said something different. Maybe people would remember that he was a halfway decent general, which he was. But we remember what we want to remember, and we choose to remember doubting Thomas. Now, how we remember him depends on how we read the sermon titled Doubting Thomas, Our Hero. If we use doubting, if we focus on that, we think that we're just a little bit better than this person who lived with Jesus and yet doubted. I mean, how could he do that with all that firsthand evidence? If we focus on hero, we sort of admire his I'm from Missouri, show me attitude. So let's think about those two views concerning Thomas and ourselves. For those people with no doubts, doubt looks like some sort of a spiritual crime, or at least being out of shape badly in a spiritual sense. And there are a few folks who claim doubt when all they want is an excuse not to believe, to be faithless. But Thomas's doubt did not come from an unwillingness to believe. He wanted to. But for him, the resurrection was too good to be true. And his doubt was sincere. All things considered, if you look at it, Jesus was pretty gentle with him. And when you think about it, honest doubt always springs from faith. Because we can't doubt what we don't believe. Only what we want to believe. The seeds of faith are always there in honest doubt. But Thomas was confused by that old seeing is believing mistake. Is seeing believing? A lot of people, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, because in those days they didn't count them. People, 5,000 people plus saw Jesus feed them from 5 biscuits and 2 fish. Did all of them become followers of Jesus because they saw that? Obviously not. I remember taking my kids to Disney World and we went to the haunted house. And I saw a lot of things I don't and still don't believe I saw. They were clever illusions, they were projections, and I saw them, but they weren't real. On the other hand, can you see devotion? Can you see integrity? Can you see compassion? No, but they're just as real as grass and trees and leaves and clouds. And when you really think about it, would we be so crass as to say to a lifeguard, I understand you just saved that person. You're a hero. Well, let's throw him in again, and you can save him again, and then you'll be a hero in my eyes. Of course not. And yet sometimes we say to God, do it again. Do it for me. Let me see. On the mistaken notion that God needs to do more than he's already done. So if we're going to criticize Thomas, it has to be at this point for asking God to do it again. Grant him some sort of private audience or command performance. So where was Thomas? For all his doubt, he would have not had it had he not been missing, A-W-O-L, absent. If he'd been with the disciples where the rest of them were, he would have seen the risen Lord. And like it or not, we are time and place beings, and God meets us in time and place. So it is possible for us to miss an encounter with God. Now, to Thomas' credit and to the disciples, he came back, and they welcomed him back into their group, where he did see the risen Christ, finally. It remains a fact that it is within the body of Christ, the fellowship of the church, That's where God often chooses to meet us. Not always, but often. And so worship attendance and participation in the life of the church is a vital thing. And it only works for those people who are involved. It cannot, it should not, and it will not be effective or changed by those who stay outside, who stay away. Because we're time and place beings. And so if a person wants to deal with doubt, he or she can't do it by watching old Highway to Heaven or Touched by an Angel reruns. They may be cute and sweet and lovely, but that's not the place to deal with real life. The fellowship of the church, where we study God's word and praise Him for real blessings and place real needs before Him in prayer, that's the time and the place where God most often, not always, but most often meets us. And by the church, I don't mean the building. I mean the body of Christ, part of which centers itself here. And if we choose not to participate, and that includes offering constructive suggestions, which we have no right to give if we're not here, well, that's our problem. It's not God's problem, and it's not the church's problem. For those who do maintain the fellowship in the family, remember, it is our place to welcome those who come back with questions. And people who do come to visit us, who may have suspicions and doubts about this church business, that's our place to welcome them. It's a true compliment to have people come and visit and consider us as a possible church home. And having said that, if we want to question Thomas, then let it be for temporarily forsaking the fellowship, but not for his honest doubt. On the other hand, we may focus on the hero part and want to praise him. He was a show-me guy. He demanded results. That's kind of appealing to us. Appears he was a person not to be trifled with, a real thinker. And Jesus never faulted him for wanting to be sure. Jesus never said, you must not admit doubt. In fact, he said what we must not do is profess faith that we don't have. But the problem came when Thomas set up his own tests. And they were pretty crude. No scars, no belief. So the risen Christ said, okay, put your fingers here, Thomas. Put your hand right into my side if you have to. If that's what it takes to make you faithful, go to it. And we have to do the very same thing. Sometimes we set up tests for the body of Christ, the church, and we say, you know, if it was just a little more alive, if we just had this or that program going, if they would only make certain changes, and sometimes the church has to respond just the way Jesus did to Thomas. You want to see the life of the church? Okay, look at the wounds. Look at the battle scars that the church has. Look at the devotion that some people have. They are always here. They are always helping. Look at the talent and the time that people invest in and through the body of Christ, the church. Look at the financial support. Look at the people who teach our children. Look at those who respond to special projects. Watch people put themselves out. Now, if we want to see, we have to look. And then ask why. Because seeing doesn't always mean understanding. And this is where we find Thomas a real hero. He saw. He understood. And then he made the most advanced, deepest confession of all the disciples. The last to believe was the first one to say, my Lord and my God. It isn't the question that makes Thomas the hero. It's the confession. And so if we want to understand why some people are willing to suffer, to be wounded, to bear the marks of the body of Christ, to put themselves out for God, then we have to confess first with Thomas, my Lord and my God, and then we're going to understand. And one of the things we will understand is the last beatitude of Jesus. It's right here. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Jesus is talking about you and me. And as we confess and believe and confess, then pessimism is not an option for us. We are Christians who have and who will conquer in Christ. That's the ultimate optimism. Easter says we won and we will win. And with faith and that kind of resulting optimism, then we'll be blessed. And that word means joyful, happy. Because we'll have that peace that Christ promised. That's true joy. Jesus would have us understand that we who must believe without seeing have no cause to envy those who had the opportunity of seeing and then believed what they saw. Think about it. Whenever we baptize a baby, we are being optimistic believers. We make promises to God, counting on His faithfulness to empower ours. And who knows what that baby is going to accomplish in the kingdom of God? Only God. And He tells us to believe in a future that we cannot see. Whenever we receive a new member, whenever we hear a confession of faith, we're trusting that they and we together will find a communion, a common union in the body of Christ. Whenever we gather for a funeral or a memorial service for the strength and the comfort, we could wonder, is it true? Is there really eternal life in a place called heaven? We can be that honest. And then honestly look to the scriptures and the music and the fellowship of those around us and the prayer and the praise that assure us during that time that the good news of Jesus Christ is the highest truth and the surest fact of God's eternal gift of life. So if Thomas is to be our hero, then let it be because he came back into the fellowship and there he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and his God. And you and I can do the same thing. Believing, we have life in Jesus' name. So in that spirit, we live not because we're worthy in ourselves, but in Christ we are. Not because we have perfect faith, we don't. But the faith we have is in the perfection of Christ. Not because we have no doubts, we do. But we bring them into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then we become heroes, just like Thomas. Amen. Join me in the prayer for blessing on the word. Together, let us pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and the writers of Scripture. We ask that you send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Amen.